Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Hear that podcast growling, mean and angry. Hear that couple shouting, it's Daner and Jay. It's Daner and Jay.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Hear That Podcast. Growlin, partner Junior, and Jay Morrison of The Athletic. Excited to be with you on a Tuesday. And it's a big Tuesday for us, Jay.
Huge.
Huge Tuesday. Choose your own adventure Tuesday. It's back, baby. It's back. Choose your own adventure off-season spreadsheet is up and live. You've already been, many of you, sending us your screenshots of how you've done. We are excited to dive. We're diving all the way into our versions, talking about the decisions on there, your versions. We're excited to break into it today.
I mean, you guys know how much I love spreadsheets, and this is spreadsheet-based. So I love putting it together every year, but then it's you get it out, you release it. Today's the day it's released. It's that huge feeling of accomplishment, and then it's you start seeing all of the screen caps come in. You're like, oh, boy, this is going to take a while to compile, because we do. We like to look at all of yours. We kind of break down how many of you chose to extend T. Higgins, how many of you didn't. We'll do a separate story based on all of your input. The more the better, but it is, it's a little daunting to see them flying in this fast already. I'm going to need a separate spreadsheet to track the spreadsheet.
Oh, you know, you like that. So I need to out myself, Jay. I had a great idea for a gift for you for Christmas that I didn't buy. And I was just thinking of another holiday it could be. I don't know why I've been targeted by it. Probably because we talk about spreadsheets so much and your expertise in them, but you can get them in different forms, t-shirt, coffee cup, whatever. I was going to get you the coffee cup that says freaking the sheets. And it just shows all like spreadsheets as the background. And I was like, it'd be the perfect coffee cup for you. You could have it right here on the show and hold it up whenever we have big spreadsheet episodes like we do here.
Freaking's one of my favorite words too. That's where you when you have kids, you gotta find workarounds to the cuss words.
And you're a freak in the sheets.
That's well, spreadsheets. Let's just say
in
that.
The spreadsheets. In the spreadsheets. That's the whole
used
point.
Used to be in the other sheets.
Hey. We're talking about spreadsheets. It's a joke. Okay. Also, before we dive all the way in this, Mo Egger is going to join us, of course. We're going to make him do his Choose Your Own Adventure, which he's termed one of his most frustrating experiences of his year. But we're going to force him to do it. He'll be coming up later in the show. But first, I want to say that if you listen to the program, you watch it on YouTube, whatever, thank you, first of all. Second of all, we're always trying to lean into things that you like more, lean away from some of the things that maybe you don't like as much, and just listen to you all the time. So, made a little survey for you. Easy, quick, multiple choice. Won't take you but a couple minutes, if that. About HTPG, particularly the in-season episodes. You're coming off of it. A little quick debrief. What did you like? Maybe what you didn't like, what you want more of. Maybe you'd like less of. What do you like the most? Do you want us to stop talking about Arby's? No, never, never. Don't, it's not even on there. It's not even a question to be on there.
No write-ins.
No. But we a quick survey. Go in, fill it out. You'll see it in the show notes if you're listening here. We've tweeted it out as well. If you go to Twitter, either of those spots, go in there, fill out the survey. Let us know what you think, what you like, and we'll start tailoring, particularly these in-season episodes, to some things maybe a little differently and see what we can do. Always looking to make it better. So drop in your thoughts there.
Should we also put out the disclaimer that I know last year we kind of railed on people not going over the cap and say, well, I'm just a little over that. That's one thing. But if you guys are having trouble and you're sending requests for us to share the Google sheet with you, that's not you look at the directions a little closer. You need to save it as a copy. Then once you save it as a copy, you can make all the changes you need to make. But the original document, we're not sharing it with anybody. We don't want people going in there and changing things around on the master. So you hit save as copy. Then you've got your own personal one. You can do whatever you want with it. Change it over and over again. Once you're done, screen cap it, send it to us.
Absolutely. And we're going to, so yeah, do that. You know, we should put that at the top, Jay. Maybe we'll put that in the top to remind people.
They'll still miss it.
They'll still miss it. That's true. I'm going to put the, in the YouTube here, we're going to put the survey so that you can go and take a peek at that. So we're going to put that in YouTube here momentarily. Look out for that in there. So while you're sitting there listening to us, you can do the survey as well. All right, let's quickly dive through a touch of the news. And that involves not a whole lot right now. Combine next week. We're going to get into some combine thoughts at the end of this episode. And if you have any questions, drop them in here into the YouTube comments, and we'll try to get to those later in the episode too. Mock draft is out tomorrow. Oh, let me just tell you how happy that made me. Took a few days off for vacation at the end of last week. Come back first thing. Oh, I got to do mock draft 1.0. Oh, but needless to say, it's coming out tomorrow. We have all 32 out on every team's biggest need. You can go take a peek at that. Jay, you're in the middle today. You're doing a beat writer mock draft for the first round where everybody's picking. I always like that. You get a really kind of a really good view of team needs and where it could possibly land, except it's silly to do it now because everything's going to change.
Just like your mock is like, why do we have to do this stuff right now? And, so I'm picking 28th. Obviously, I'm picking for the Bengals. This started just a little bit ago. I think they started doing them at 10 a.m., which means I will probably go on the clock around midnight or so tonight. it's not the most streamlined, efficient way to do it, but the goal is to have it done by tomorrow afternoon, and it will publish later this week. We will also be publishing a all 32 of every team's most likely or possible cap casualty, so you can kind of get an idea of who may be available out there that's not quite available yet.
And that's important part in a good spot for us to dive in and start talking about our mock offseason sheets here. Because cap casualties will be a part of it. They're not on there. And a little bit of an explainer here. We gave the number, and this is how much you have to spend. It started at $25 million. Now you say, Paul, they have more than that. What are you trying to do? This happens every single year. The Bengals spend is very similar. Every year it's like this. Take their cap that's actual available, which was right around the 236 area. Subtract 10 to 15 million off of it. That's the level to which they spend in their cap number. Last year, it was almost right on that. Their cap spend was within 2 million of where we had plotted that, their actual cap number spent on 2022 cap hits compared to where it started. Went back and tracked it to make sure it was right, and it was. The adjustment this year that I think you're going to like, and I think Mo will particularly like, because Mo found himself very frustrated, feeling like he couldn't do everything he wanted to do. And so we adjusted, you know, if you are going to give somebody 3 years, $36 million, $12 million per year, you know, you previously we'd put them in there as about $12 million per year at a 12. Well, that number's not realistic. The first year cap hit is always a little bit less. And that was certainly the case in all their signings last year as well. Now, they can front load that. It's different ways. There's a lot going on there. But we're trying to keep it basic just for the sake of the exercise of just understanding exactly what it is. The numbers for each player are less than what they're going to get on the market. You're going to hear these numbers come out on the market, right? So unless it's a one-year deal. I mean, if you're thinking it's like, I have Hayden Hurst in here for $5 million, 1 year, $5 million feels about right for Hayden Hurst. But if you were saying three-year deal for someone gives Hayden Hurst 3 years, I think it would maybe look a little bit different than 1 year. Five, 1 year, you could get him on this year's cap for three or four. Point being, these multi-year deals are going to be able to feel like you're getting more in this year. And I think that was a slight adjustment where we missed last year, and you can do better.
Yeah, like Hearst, for example, where it 1 year, $5 million, say it's a 3 year, 15, it's not going to be 5.55. You know, it might be 3.5 this year, then 4.5, and then get up even bigger in that third year. So it is. It's the, you pointed this out in your tweet too. This is, nothing is perfect. It's impossible to make this perfect. We try to make it as realistic as possible. And the whole goal here is to let you guys know how difficult some of these decisions are, that you can't just say, well, go get a starting left tackle and go get a starting safety that's in the Jesse Bates realm, but maybe not quite as expensive of what his tag number would have been. It's not fantasy football where you can just go get whoever you want. There are yens and yangs to every decision you make, and there's the ripple effects, and it gets tough. And that's why Mo found it so frustrating. It does get frustrating. You go through it, you're like, I want to do this, but then I can't do this, so I'll change this. And it's not just run through, click, 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 you're done. There's a lot of back and forth, because everything you choose affects something on the other side.
It does. It's all about consequences, Jay. You know, in our own personal finances, we tend to not have the proper perspective about, look, if you're going to go spend something on this, it means you're going to probably not be able to do this. Look, you want to redo your house, okay? You want to have a new kitchen? You want to have a new porch? You want to have a new bathroom? I don't know if you can tell them. We're having lots of discussions about house projects. Well, you can't do them all. And if you want to do the bathroom, that means you're not going to get your porch. You're not going to get your back deck. You're not, or you could just say, screw it. Let's blow it all up. Let's go all in and blow out the back of the house and put on an addition, right? Like there's pluses and there's minuses to every decision you make in your life, and certainly in the life of filling out the Bengals balance sheet. And that's an important thing to remember here as well. All right, Jay. You want to start? We haven't seen each other's sheets. We've done this separately so we can react live here. Jay, you can start. Let's put Jay's sheet up here for our YouTube folks and see what he's got here. And take a look. Talk me through. Let's kind of talk through a few of your toughest, what you thought were some of your toughest decisions. I see one cut.
Yeah, that was it. That was, do I cut Lael Collins? And he didn't perform the way they wanted him to last year. He is coming in off an ACL, but man, it's so hard to find quality offensive linemen. And I just don't know that you cut him right away, and you don't know what's going to happen. We're doing this now before the draft. You got to wait and see what happens in the draft, who they get, free agency as well. You can see there in my OT3, I grabbed the Vegas right tackle, who, by the way, was one eighth or ninth graded right tackle by PFF. And what was interesting, I thought about him. Let me find my notes here real quick. So his overall grade was 75.3. His run blocking grade, 75.7. His pass blocking grade, 76.1. He was very consistent. I think that's what you're looking for, a guy with experience and a guy who has consistency as your OT3. You'll see there at first round, Darnell Wright going to go get a tackle right in the first round and then see how it shakes out. But the other part of that is, you know, last year the injuries were a big story once you got in the postseason, but 15 games in a row were the same exact offensive line. That's just, it's rare, and you can't count on that kind of thing happening again. I think they need to improve the starting lineup on the O-line, and they need to improve the depth. I don't know that we saw enough from Jackson Carmen. So that's why I spent money there, spent money and draft capital on the O-line. Mixon, I thought, was an easy cut, just because it saves so much money. P. Ryan is going to be a lot less. Then I went and I got Jamal Williams. I know a lot of people are probably going with a rookie, a third, fourth, maybe a day three pick. Jamal Williams, 17 touchdowns last year, 16 of them in the red zone. I mean, if they can run the ball down there in the red zone, it's just going to open everything else up. The other thing I like about Jamal Williams, too, he was number 11 running back by PFF in terms of pass pro. So you get him and Samaje Perine. That's what I worry about, just going with Samaje Perine and then Travion and a rookie. It's like, well, what if something happens to Samaje? Then you're really in a pinch there, unless this rookie explodes like an Isaiah Pacheco or something like that. So I wanted a little more insurance at the running back position. And it's not just, you know, he's not just a red zone 1 yard run plunge touchdown guy. I mean, Jamal Williams went over 1,000 yards last year. He had a really good year. I think that would be a quality addition. The one area where I kind of went back and forth was DT3, and I went ahead and I got Sheldon Rankins. He's going to be 29 before the season starts. So you figure that deal, maybe they get him on a 1 year deal, but most likely it would be a 2-3 that he'd be looking for. I know they don't like to pay guys once they get up in that 30 range, but Zach Carter didn't quite, you know, develop the way I think they had hoped. It's not to say he won't, but they're thin there at three tech. And I'm not sure that, you know, you anytime you're drafting a rookie, it's going to be a crapshoot.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor. Okay, hold on. We're covering a lot of ground here.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to go through it all.
No. Let's not go through it all at once. Let's stop. I have many notes. Okay, let's go back to the beginning here. Cuts. You mentioned the Collins thing. I'm with you. I think the Mixon cut is the easiest because not only is the 7.3. You know, again, we did all these cuts as pre-June ones because that historically is the way they've gone. Obviously, it can be post and you can save more. We're just not doing that for the sake of this exercise. 7.3 is great. But when you take into the fact that not just is this a great running back class, but there's a lot of guys in the mold of a Jamal Williams that are out there too. And Jamal Williams, by the way, great locker room dude, incredible interview. Subscribe win.
Yes.
For those that haven't seen that, I love that. I love the concept of Jamal Williams. He could show up in place of Perine. If for whatever reason he didn't come back, I don't know if they'd want to go that way or not. To me, there's a little bit of a double up, although I love it. I have no problem with that. I just think you got to be thinking long term and trying to find somebody who's really, really explosive. When it comes to the running back position, if we're cutting Joe Mixon, which we're both doing, we both have that. I like one guy in that low range, whether it's Perine coming back or you go get a Williams or somebody else like that, and then going into this deep draft. I just think there's a couple different options, and we can talk about some draft stuff. I went through a lot of this in the mock draft yesterday, and everybody has their opinions. There's just a lot of them, though. And I think that's really what's important, not who your pony is, who you like in round two, or maybe even round one. Maybe you like, look, if Gibbs is there, 28, you know, you got to do it. You got to take the first round running back. I don't necessarily subscribe to that theory, but I'll listen to it. I mean, I get it. If you think he's really the perfect, if he's your Alvin Kamara or your Christian McCaffrey type, which is the perfect fit for this offense, that's great. But I think there's a lot of quality in the back half that can be what you more want, which is your Damian Pierce, your Isaiah Pacheco, your Tyler Allgeier, these guys that you get don't have to spend a bunch of draft capital on and can hope bubble up. And if they aren't great, you still have the other guy that you have. I mean, if they have to go and give Perine a bigger load for a year, I mean, we know we've seen what that looks like. It looks like it did last year and he can carry it. I have Roschon Johnson from Texas, the backup to Bijan Robinson, who really is a nice type fit. He'd be a round three guy for me, or where that's where Dane has him. All of our picks are based off where Dane has in his top 100, kind of in that area. A third round pick, taking advantage of the depth, but still a quality player who can come in and you can take your time working him in. Maybe he shows up and immediately is great. Maybe he's not. You have Perine. So I have Perine with the third round pick there rather than going with another free agent. But you can do that. And maybe you're going with another free agent anyway. Maybe you're going Perine, Williams, Johnson, right? And you've got a full load of players back there and Chris Evans is your fourth or something like that.
Yeah, the thing about Roshan that I think is interesting, and this isn't a unique concept, but it's something the Bengals really lean into, who they really like running backs who shared the load in college, who aren't coming in with that ton of all that wear and tear. So he would fit that mold. Mm-hmm. What I was thinking is you think about it too, the it's not just late draft capital. It's a lot of times these running backs come out of the undrafted pool, and the undrafted free agency market it's kind of like college recruiting, where who's the best fit. They have all the power. They can pick where they want to go. And if you've got a team that doesn't have a star number one back, and you've got a team that's been to back-to-back AFC championship games, and you've got a team led by Joe Burrow, there's going to be a lot of running backs, college free agents that are going to want to come to Cincinnati so that they can kind of stock up there too and just say, hey, fight it out in OTAs and training camp and see who's the best.
We heard Steve Radicevich talking about that in the story I had up last week about build to sustain, and I read someone he was saying, they plan on leaning a little bit heavier into that this year. Take advantage of what they have with Burrow, and I think that's where you can find, maybe it's bargain replacement, which we have listed as an option, is somebody like, maybe it's Jamal Williams. I mean, it could be somebody that you very much know who's very much been productive in this league, and bargain replacement is a nice little player because it's somebody that maybe didn't see the market develop quite as they wanted to, and they end up playing with Burrow. The other aspect of what you're talking about here is the Collins decision. And to me, there's a couple of spots here where we start talking about aggressiveness, all in. To me, a takeaway was how much room there was. And Cam, if you want to flip up and put mine up here now, so Jay can start judging me. Yeah, I'm in the red up top. I got a minus 100,000. I'm willing to say that I can figure out a way to rework 100 grand. This is what I wanted. Okay. But I think the tackle spot is where I think you can look at, okay, are you going to do this? Or are you not going to do this? And I've had a theory about the Bengals for a while, and this kind of was a defining part of this sheet for me. I am done trying to draft linemen for this team. If I am the Bengals, I am self-scouting myself. We're not good at this. We continue to not be great at this. The offensive line drafting has just never gone to the level that they've wanted it to go. I would say Volson's one of the first closest success stories they've had. And credit them for that. And maybe it means they're turning the corner. And Jonah Williams has been fine. But he hasn't been where he was picked fine. Doesn't mean that was a bad pick. It's just all up this whole long line. I'm just telling you know what? Pay for it. Fix it. And I'll draft elsewhere. Okay? I'll fix it by paying guys. I'll protect Burrow with known quantities. They're going to go for it, time, man. They can go win. The amount of space they have to do stuff this year and down the line, it all fits itself differently. But I want to pay for the line and draft for other stuff. I want the known quantity line. I'm done. It's not time to recreate Cedric Obwehi transfer, okay? The transfer of power from hell, right? Or the Obwehi-Fisher draft. So people who say draft tackle, I get it. That makes sense. One, you're not getting a blue chip tackle at 28. You're getting somebody who's got deficiencies or some development to them, or else you'd be getting them at 10, okay? So I look at right tackle, I cut Lyle Collins and try to sign Mike McGlinchey. That's my big move, right? Mm-hmm. Now you have these guys, you have McGlinchey, Kappa, Karras, Volson, all signed multiple years. Okay? Now McGlinchey's a little bit on the older side for considering he's a free agent for the first time from San Francisco. But he is no donkey's man. I mean, he is solid as can be. Grading in the 70s, playing right tackle, run block, pass block, solid across the board, solid dude. Bengals really liked him in the draft. You're going to have to pay for that. But think about this. You've got left tackle hanging out there, but you've got Jonah Williams this year. You got whatever you think Jackson Carmen was. Or you can add, I added a swing tackle as well, because I'm not trusting Jackson Carmen further than I can throw him at this point. We haven't seen elongated success. So I brought in Cam Fleming to be a swing tackle who played fairly well at both left and right last year. Okay? You can look further into addressing tackle next year. Okay? But think about that line. That's a great – look at that offense.
Yeah.
Next year's offense, Burrow, P. Ryan, or Johnson, Chase, Higgins, Boyd, Jonah Williams, Volson, Karras, Kappa, McGlinchey. Hurst is back at tight end, and I'm spending a fourth round pick on tight end too, with Sample in the mix. Go for it. Go win. Go, and your line is set up to protect nine for the long haul. And you're, I just feel like if you're going to splurge, you can't do multiple aggressive moves. One big one, if you're pinpointing where it can be, why not be getting, just fixing up this line and feeling truly solid about it for the long haul? I know that there's no guarantees they could go get McGlinchey, or that he would sign here, that he'd leave San Francisco, or that they'd get him at the number they want. But if on this sheet, that's the aggressive move I'm making.
Yeah, and when you put it in that context where it's, yeah, he's $13 million, but you cut Collins at six, so you're basically paying him seven. It does. It makes sense. I like Fleming too. He'll be 31 on opening day, but if he's your swing tackle, that's fine. You're not asking him to go in there and start 17 games. I debated whether to keep or cut Collins, but I never debated on going, making that big swing at right tackle. I was more kind of bolstering, getting mid-range guys, second, third tier, or wave guys to fill out the rest of the roster. I like it. I mean, I think he would be a great addition, and you're right. That is not a no donkey line. That is a really, really good offensive line. But you're right. Can you get him at that number? Would he want to come here? Would he want to leave San Francisco? Maybe San Francisco tags him, which, by the way, today is the day that teams can start tagging guys for the next 2 weeks. Don't anticipate the Bengals doing that, but this is interesting. It's a different way, and I figured it would be that we would come up with different sheets here without comparing them ahead of time. But I do see a lot on here that is similar as well.
So to me, that's where you're going to invest. I'm investing more into the line and just trying to make sure that there's protection. But it leaves, you know, a few other things to look at now on the defensive side of the ball here, which is more set almost than I thought I would feel with it. You know, there's a lot of boxes. You know, it shows select on all of it, all this yellow that when you go through the sheet to, oh, got to make a decision here. There's not a lot of decisions. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of just, yeah, don't cut that guy, bring that guy back. That's in a good place. Hendrickson, Hubbard, Osai, Reader, Hill. Yeah. I mean, you're in place there. I think you're trying to rebuild youth and on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, to me, that was my thought process, and plug and play with some vets where you have to. I don't think there's any way Jesse Bates is coming back, but if you were talking about where to splurge, if you were talking about where to make yourself uncomfortable, if you're the Bengals, go back on your now three-run fight with Jesse Bates and say, you know what? Maybe that is our aggressive move. Maybe that's our all-in move, is Jesse Bates instead of Von Bell. Now, again, that'd be a lot of discomfort for them to do something that they don't want to do. They've fought against doing for a reason. So to think they're going to do it, I think it's very, 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 very unlikely. But I'm saying, if you're here and we're just blindly talking about it, Dax Hill and Jesse Bates playing with each other sounds scintillating. And you get two young guys rather than Von Bell, who's not old, but on the older side. And you'd be paying for a little bit on the older side, whereas Jesse Bates, still very young. To me, that's the other thing where you would consider is, like, is there any way that you can get yourself real uncomfortable and find a way to mend the fences with Jesse Bates?
Yeah, I like the idea of Von's physicality. And I think Dax is going to be a terrific player, but him and Jesse kind of similar in their play style. I think you want a thumper back there at one of the safety spots. And I do. I think this is the end with Jesse. And, but it is it's an interesting thought. The other thing you have here, the Jonathan Jones thing, I've debated him as well. But I was thinking, okay, he's got two rings. You want a guy with playoff success. Last year was his first year as a full-time starter. you know, is he going to be happy in that cornerback three role? Is, there, is would that be an issue? That's why I end up going bargain replacement there. Just a solid guy who understands he's the fourth cornerback. And but I do like that idea of a Jonathan Jones in that secondary.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's probably the move. I think there's a bargain replacement type, or maybe a little bit more aggressive like Jones, whoever. I mean, that's who we have in that. There's going to be other guys when we start talking about who cap casualties. I mean, that's a good spot for a cap casualty from somewhere else potentially to come in and try to restart their career in Cincinnati. You know, you want somebody just – the unknowns of how Cheeto is going to look for sure coming off the ACL made me lean towards being a little bit more aggressive with that fourth corner. Knowing that I don't think they're going to bring Eli Apple back, they're going to look elsewhere. And I think you're drafting that position.
Yeah, I went second round with corner.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I think early is a very much in play there. You know, a team that likes to go in a year early. We know that much on big time premium positions. Would consider it with Cheeto in the last year of his deal coming off an ACL. There's no question. I mean, in that fourth spot is sitting there. You can be drafting the future of that position and adding depth at the same time. I think you're very much considering a corner at every level of the draft. It's in play. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be stunned if at 28 or 60 or in the third round, you saw them pulling the trigger on a corner again and trying to find the next Cam Taylor Britt, you know, to fall in line there.
Yeah, I agree. And that the trade back is in play as well, where they, you know, they've done that so many times in the second round and get an extra pick later in the draft. But I could see it at 28. I went tackle. I think tackle's the most likely, regardless of what any of these sheets say. I still think tackle's the most likely pick there. Obviously not if they sign a McGlinchey, but I do. I think we are going to see a cornerback drafted on day two and on day three possibly.
Yeah, and I don't have that. I have them getting younger. I still think, you know, there's a lot of, when you get into the draft side of this, so much is dependent. I mean, free agency is gonna in a lot of ways help move what the draft looks like. So it's hard to do one before the other. But when you go through the options and you look at the way it's structured right now, way we think it's structured, we look at what Dane has out there and his projections. You know, I look at somebody that can be playing defensive tackle for you. You know, Reeder's in the last year of his deal. They needed more juice up the middle anyway. I'm looking at that spot and seeing what's available, certainly, at defensive tackle. I have Keanu Benton from Wisconsin, mostly from reading his scouting report about his relentless style and just change. I mean, fits every single word that we have heard from the Bengals in recent years about the defensive player types and how that sort of just relentless motor type thing is what drives his game. And he gets a lot of efficiency and production off of that. So I had them going there and plugging him in as your third defensive tackle. And you can work him next to Hill when you go to the five front. You could do lots of different things you can do. They need somebody to pair with Hill. I thought BJ Hill's production was hurt last year by not having an Ogunjobi type with him. Mm-hmm. At one point I had them bringing Ogunjobi back. Why not get the band back together? Yeah. I'm open to that. But I think getting young there and trying to add a little bit more youth and juice on the interior of the defensive line is a spot where they should be considering at all levels of this draft as well.
The one thing we haven't touched about your sheet, which I love, is that first round pick, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You put him next to Chase and Higgins and Boyd and that O-line. I mean, that's got number one offense possibilities written all over it. I do. I love the idea of them drafting him, being an Ohio State fan, just watching him, not this year, he hardly played this year, but the year before, he was incredible. And if he's there at 28, that would really, really be an interesting dynamic to have that top four for Joe Burrow to throw to.
Well, and it's a it's a now and later pick.
Exactly.
Know? I mean, you know, this is probably the end for Tyler Boyd. He's your future of Tyler Boyd. They have a year where they're together, and he's an inside outside guy. I mean, he can certainly play outside. You know, he's not just going to be a slot. Different analysts have different ideas of how he projects, and it'll probably depend on how Mike Potts and Duke Tobin and company think that he projects. If he's an inside outside, you get a lot of chase. I think they want the versatility, right? They want the idea of when they come out in 11, you don't know where Chase is going to go, where Smith and Jigba is going to go. Maybe where T is going to go, but they have lots of different ways they work him. And you can have these guys all over. And I think that's where you end up having so many things you can do. And then come next year, you've got your rookie in place, and you lose zero of your dynamic playmaking ability in the receiver room at that point. All right, let's just take a quick break. All right, welcome back to Hear That Podcast. Growlin, we're going to bring in our good friend and yours, Mo Egger from ESPN 1530. Mo, where are you today?
I'm at Hollywood Casino.
Wow. How about that? Big day. What, we're just trying to get some early action in?
We have a these aren't working. We have a promotion we're doing for the NCAA tournament, and I had to shoot a video, and it went long.
Well, thanks for joining us anyway. I appreciate it. I mean, this is kind of a real feel of you and your environment.
Hey, I brought this with me. I brought my spreadsheet.
Okay. Because, yeah.
Because I think I'm qualified to be a GM or at least a capologist.
Okay. So today you are GM/capologist/ common sense director. We'll give you all of those titles, but start with your big, what was the toughest decision you thought when you went to filling out the sheet? Are you under the cap or are you going to have to restructure?
I did a better job of balancing the books here than I do with my own finances. Wow. I am $700,000 under the cap.
Oh, congratulations. You're going to pay yourself with that?
I'm going to bring it out here to Hollywood.
Yeah.
So the very first thing for me is that nonsense about trading T. Higgins. We're not doing that.
Right.
Okay.
It's not even an option on here.
No, the very first thing I clicked was T. Higgins extension. We're getting that bad boy done. And even if we can't, we're trying to win the Super Bowl this year. And so I started with that. I don't know that I really had a tough decision. I will admit to you trying to figure out a way to keep Jesse Bates, which doesn't really seem realistic. I cut Joe Mixon and I moved on from Lyle Collins.
Okay.
Those were the two cuts. So I saved $13.4 million. And then I really didn't go crazy in free agency. I signed one kind of big-ish money guy. Do you want to know who that is?
I do.
Yeah.
I signed Jawan Taylor to play right tackle.
Okay.
Good pass blocking tackle. I understand there's issues run blocking. I've moved on from Lael Collins. I like Jackson Carman as my swing guy. I don't know that I saw enough to have him entrenched as the dude who's going to be helping to protect Joe Burrow for 17 weeks. But if I've got to play him, well, that's okay. I think he has played himself into that swing tackle role. I wanted an upgrade. I can't count on Lael Collins, and so my big free agency get was Jawan Taylor.
All right, I like that move.
What about draft? What positions did you go for with your first three draft picks?
I took a tight end because everybody raves about the tight end class. Mm-hmm. With my second round selection, I took an offensive lineman, and maybe you don't find a long-term solution at tackle there in the second round, but what's the future of Jonah Williams? They've got to start thinking long-term about the interior. I mean, Alex Kapp and Ted Karras aren't going to be here forever. You could always use depth. We certainly saw that last year. And then with my third pick, I went corner. You can't have enough in this league. I also have read just enough draft dorks who have talked about how great the class is at corner. Maybe I can't get a shutdown guy in the third round, but I can add some depth. Could I get a version of Cam Taylor-Britt and hopefully have him play the entire season? I'm moving on from Eli Apple. So I have a bargain replacement at corner at CB3, but I'm taking one in the third round as well.
I like that. What's your idea of what to do at running back? Are you thinking draft? Are you thinking run with P. Ryan?
I've got some Ajay P. Ryan. I did look at other options. The Jamal Williams thing was interesting to me, but the statistical profile didn't jump off the page. I know he scored a bunch of touchdowns, and it was $4 million, so that didn't really fit. So I've gone day three pick. Again, the draft gurus talk about how great the class is at running back. It's a position that is viewed as more replaceable than others. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, there wasn't a tab for renegotiate with Joe Mixon, was there?
I got to see one player take a pay cut or the Bengals restructure a single contract before we make it an option.
Right, yeah. So it was either keep him or move on. I just, in this day and age, with the player that he's become, with the decisions they have to make, I couldn't keep Joe Mixon at the salary that he was going to get. So we're going to go day three pick. Look, Joe carried it 15 times per game last season. Can I find a guy on Saturday that I can give the football to 15 times per game that could perhaps be a little bit better pass protector and give them 4 yards a carry behind the interior of that offensive line? I think the answer is yes. And I get him on the cheap, plus some Ajay P. Ryan as complimentary guy / insurance policy / 2-minute guy / dude that's going to salt away games at the end. Yeah, I like that running back setup. So I went day three pick at running back.
So you said that the very first thing you did was extend T. Higgins and click that box. I don't think, Paul, you didn't, right? Neither one of us extended T. Higgins.
I did not.
So let's say you don't do that, Mo, and that gives you another 3.2 on top of the 700 carryover. So you got close to $4 million to spend somewhere else. Where would you upgrade if you don't get the extension with Higgins done?
Well, so here's what I was surprised. Before I answer that question, here's what surprised me. Is I got Jermaine Pratt back. I kind of went into this thinking that he and Jesse Bates were the guys I was going to say goodbye to. So I didn't need to go find a linebacker. I still have on my spreadsheet, as I look at it right now, Logan Wilson with an extension, Jermaine Pratt, and Akeem Davis-Gaither. That really doesn't seem realistic. So a different way of doing this exercise might have me finding a linebacker somewhere. If I could take that T. Higgins money and deploy it somewhere else, I guess I would look in the secondary. I guess I would look at corner. Is there a defensive tackle that I could find somewhere to add to what they have with DJ Reader and BJ Hill? Are we sure Joseph Osai is going to be okay? And so, maybe I can find some depth at edge, but I guess it would be in the secondary. Because Jadobi Awuzie is coming off a pretty significant injury. There is going to be some turnover there. And so if I can find a higher-end corner maybe with that money, I guess I would do that. But I like the idea of getting a deal done with T. Higgins. But more than anything, I want to emphasize this. We're not trading him. So trying to win the Super Bowl this year, we're not trading him. We're not trading him. I read a guy today on Pro Football Focus. Now they're going to trade him to the Detroit Lions. We're not doing that.
Right. Yeah. It's going to happen tomorrow, maybe.
The Atlantic said we are.
Yeah, that's true.
The Atlantic.
That's where you can read it. So did you find this to be not as frustrating as in years past?
It's interesting. So the mechanics of the document, when I went to Google Docs, there was the one from, I think, 2 years ago, which was the Carl Lawson year. And so I looked at that and I'm like, man, that was frustrating as hell. And then I remember last year's, which for whatever reason I didn't have saved. I remember that being extraordinarily frustrating. This was surprisingly easy. And I went down too many rabbit holes in trying to determine which tackle I could get and what it would cost. But the two cuts for me were pretty easy. Lyle Collins is now going to be 30 years old with an extensive injury history. that includes nearly every area on his body. And the Joe Mixon thing we've talked about a lot already. So those two cuts to me, I'm saving almost $13.5 million on top of having some pretty good amount of cap space. It wasn't that hard to go shopping. I didn't get cute when it came to the special teamers. I didn't get cute when it came to backup quarterback. I couldn't get a Jesse Bates thing done, but I had money for Jermaine Pratt. So yeah, I found this exercise to be a little bit easier. And maybe that's what happens when you have a good team, when you have a bunch of good players. I don't know. But this exercise felt to me easier than in previous years.
Well, you're welcome. First of all, we altered it slightly to have the first year cap hit not be as high, because traditionally it's not, as the extended length of the contract average annual value. So I think that is part of it. We made it so it was a little freer, a touch. But two, I also think it is that they're just in a better spot. I just think they're in a good spot for this year in particular. They're in a great spot to be able to do things, do what they want, and not feel like they're letting a lot go. The interesting thing, and almost this year, because when you start getting into extensions and how much you're going to be paying people down the line, I think this is a year where I almost wanted to go and put 2 years worth on here and put this year and next year in there and start talking about, okay, what, because your sacrifices for what you want to do and going for it this year would show up in 2024 and specifically in 2025. And that to me is where, you know, you reach this conversation that everyone's loving to have right now. That is the all in versus the staying steady concept. And we know the Bengals are not an all in type. Duke Tobin has said so much on the record multiple times. He's not going to sacrifice future years to try to go all in 1 year. But that said, that's to me what is interesting about this year is you do have that comfort right now, but the discomfort in 24 and 25 is, you know, determined by how aggressive you are right now.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the all in conversation, it revolves around T. Higgins, and God knows I've already talked about it way too much. You know, the Atlantic theorized that maybe they could swing a deal. I just, you have a hard time convincing me that trading T. Higgins puts you closer to winning a championship this year. And so, would you love to get a deal done? Yes. If it becomes difficult, all right. Well, do we think he's still going to play football for the Bengals next season? If the answer is yes, that gives them a chance to win the whole thing. Trading T. Higgins for a haul, my favorite word, a haul of draft picks. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not in a position like the Rams or the Broncos where they've got to recoup picks that they've given away. They've got their picks for the coming years. I want to win a championship this season. So the all-in part of this to me is we're not going to trade away one of the best wide receivers in the sport. And by the way, we're also not going to move on from Tyler Boyd either. And I did sort of play around with, well, what can we get done if we cut him? And God love Trent Irwin. I'm sorry. Just don't think he's the player that Tyler Boyd is. But yeah, this exercise felt surprisingly easy. And again, maybe it's because I feel like the two contracts that are easy to move over to that cut column, it didn't require a ton of thought. I mean, again, it's going to sound harsh. We all know what Joe Mixon has meant to the Bengals. We're all excited about acquiring Lael Collins, and maybe those players have a lot of football still in them and a lot of good football still in them. But for what I want to accomplish next season and on this spreadsheet, I just didn't view them as not expendable. So when I did that, again, the surprising thing for me was I was able to keep Jermaine Pratt. I don't know how realistic it is to pay him $7 million to not be on the field for every down, but my linebacker core is intact. My defensive front's intact. I've had to do some maneuvering in the secondary, but I'm happy to move on from Eli Apple and his Twitter feed. It's a deep draft class at corner. I can find another version of Eli Apple who's not going to be sending tweets. I'm good with that. And I got Dax Hill to replace Jesse Bates. And I was told to be excited about that last May. So why should I not be excited about that here in February?
I love it. I said to me, the biggest thing, and you did a version of this, I did maybe a little bit more aggressive version of it. but was done trying to do Cedric Obwehi, Jake Fisher transition 2.0, okay? This team needs to stop trying to draft protection for Joe Burrow. Like, it's just, I think that needs to be done. Go spend. If you're going to spend, if you're going to take one big swing or two kind of big swings, that's where it should be. Go stop trying to draft protection, pay for protection, and draft elsewhere where there's a little bit more of a track record of success and you don't have so much on the line. I just want, if I'm the Bengals, I want proven linemen. I want if I'm trying to fix tackle, I got Jonah Williams, whoever people thinking of him, he's proven enough for me for this next year and a contract year, and he's having surgery, so maybe his kneecap won't pop out anymore, and that's great. And then I brought Mike McGlinchey in to totally solve that right tackle problem, and now you've got those four guys, and whatever happens at left tackle, maybe you get Jonah to a deal after the year or whatever, figure that out next year. Maybe there's somebody else to pay, and you have a line that is set to protect Burrow and plenty of weapons for the foreseeable future, and that should mean championships.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of did the thing where I'm like, all right, what am I prioritizing in free agency? Not what am I prioritizing this offseason. Premium on getting off to a fast start. Offensive line that can protect right away. I need an offensive line that can keep my quarterback from throwing four picks. I need an offensive line that doesn't need a month and a half to gel. I need an offensive line that can hit the ground running. I'm more likely to do that with as many proven, veteran, established pieces as I can get my hands on. And so that's why that to me wasn't even really something I had to think about. I've got a chunk of dough to spend in free agency. Where do I want to spend it? I want to spend it on the offensive line. And the offensive line, as I've constructed it, you know, we can split hairs, I guess, between Mike McGlinchey and Juwan Taylor. But if Jackson Carmen becomes my swing tackle, that's pretty good. I do need more improvement from Cordell Volson. I need a prove it year from Jonah Williams, which hopefully they get. I can't go into a try to win the whole thing season going, okay, I've got a rookie playing right tackle and he's going to be the guy protecting Joe Burrow. We're not going to do that.
Nope. Mo, you have a great time. Try not to spend too much time walking out of the casino there. Just head out right to the exits. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Just leave. Okay. It's too early.
I've got to go to work. So My original plan was I was going to be at like a breakfast place doing this with you guys, and then that got thrown up because I don't know how to do a video in one take.
The average blackjack shoe takes about 20 minutes, so depending on what time you got to be at work, you can probably sneak one in.
All right, Mo.
You're making a convincing case. See you guys.
I appreciate it. We'll see you this afternoon. I'll be on with
sir.
Mo.
See you guys.
3 to 4 on ESPN 1530. We will catch up with him then. All right. There's one other aspect of this that I want to dive into before we get into a few other things, combine, look ahead, some RBs, those types of things. I want to talk about potential cap casualties. Now, we'll have a story coming out in The Athletic later this week where each team, a beat writer for team, has a, you know, most likely cap casualty, and some are notable, some are not so. You can probably guess we have Joe Mixon as ours, one that we've talked extensively about already here today. But there's a few names that showed up when I went through it from other teams that I think I could see perking the interest of Bengals, even in a depth signing for for all of them, actually, that I have here. But, you know, the types of guys that would be chasing another paycheck. It doesn't have to be huge, but winning, ring, stages, things like that. Here's the names that I plucked. One, Michael Brockers from Detroit. Mm-hmm. Familiarity with Zach Taylor has familiarity with him from his time with the Rams. Now he's 32. He didn't play, you know, he was healthy scratch a lot last season, but extreme leadership, extreme team guy. You're not asking him to do a lot. He's showing up as your third, probably fourth defensive tackle. Think Mike Daniels a couple of years ago where he's still got some juice probably left in him maybe, but certainly brings a lot to some depth in that room. That was my only defensive guy. Jalen Mills from New England. Mm-hmm. 28 could be in that, again, that fourth cornerback role that we've talked about, bargain replacement. Who is that? Somebody who's played enough and can come in and give you something quality. You're not breaking the bank on these guys. They're cap casualties who are looking for a safe landing spot. That's one that was mentioned. I think that could make sense. Somebody who's familiar from these discussions that we had on this sheet a couple years ago, Matt Filer from the LA Chargers. Yeah. The Bengals had a lot of interest in the year that he was a free agent. Now, he had a bit of a down year this past year, but he's got guard tackle flexibility. He's played a bunch. He's 30. But again, you're probably doing some kind of a one-year prove it, increasing your depth at multiple positions. Somebody that you feel like could drop in there. And again, somebody they liked a few years back. I had Nyheim Hines from Buffalo, who could, again, we're talking about that he's got return ability. Certainly you could plug him in there. Think Travion Williams' role, right? He's more dynamic as a returner. He brings you more out of catching the ball out of the backfield, which you can look for. And, you know, he's got a little bit of proven explosive ability in the league. He's 26. Could be somebody that they could be interested in. Again, this is in depth bargain type of area, but those are some names that popped out at me from the cap casualty sheet.
Well, what about, because you were talking on your sheet of boosting the offensive line. One of the guys on the possible cap cuts is Tyron Smith from Dallas. Do they run it back and take another cut cowboy to play tackle?
Tyron Smith just hasn't played. Yeah. I mean, he's hurt every year. I don't know that they're going to go for somebody that old and that unreliable at that position, especially you're paying for the concept of a healthy Tyron Smith, and it's probably not going to be all that cheap. I understand Dallas moving on. I don't know that it's tempting. Boy, what if you get the healthy year and he finds, he turns out an Andrew Whitworth renaissance, right? Yeah. But Andrew Whitworth didn't have this kind of injury history at all.
No.
And so I'm very uncomfortable with that, with that move and having to rely on somebody that just has proven unreliable from a health standpoint and isn't getting any younger.
Yeah. And another name on there on the other side on defense, Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle 49, same thing.
Yep.
If you can get the healthy Javon Kinlaw, it would be amazing, but he's all these knee injuries he's had. Maybe they're in a position with having such a solid roster where they would be more willing to take that chance, or I don't know if they would go the other way and say, hey, we need to get more sure bets. We don't need to be rolling the dice on guys like this and go get someone that you never know they're going to be able to play, because injuries can happen anywhere, but just avoid those guys with that history of it.
Yeah. And there's a spot for, okay, a flyer, but what it depends on what is the market for a Javon Kinlaw if he's cut with his injury history. Does the league think he's totally washed? Is he just looking for a chance to latch on and prove he can stay healthy somewhere for $2 million? Like, I mean, is that the level that he's fallen to? A former first round top 10 type pick? I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, that's where it becomes interesting. I don't think it becomes interesting in a counting on him, spending on him, player like that, to me, it becomes interesting. And they look at it realistically in a take a flyer, couple of million, maybe not even guaranteed, incentive-based type thing. And is that the level he's fallen to, or somebody else more needy and would actually give him a better deal? I don't know. That. And again, that's that level that we've talked about. Who falls through the cracks? Who's hanging around there at the end and wants a chance to be on big stages and win a bunch of games? Maybe that is somebody who ends up there, and it doesn't hurt you if he gets hurt in camp again, or he gets in and you're like, man, it's just the juice ain't there. I don't know. Let's move it forward here and let's do some Arby's before we look ahead to the combine. Jay, do you have any Arby's?
I do. So this is a couple weeks old, but it was a friend of mine, Greg Lynch. He's a photographer, or was a photographer at the Hamilton Journal. Now he runs their social stuff. And I was stopping by his house. He's a big Steeler fan. So every time the Bengals play the Steelers, I grab a game program. So I was stopping by his house to drop off the game program. And he said he had something for me from the Journal News archives. And I love the old pictures, old media guides, all that old stuff. I took a bunch of it when they were throwing a lot of it out when they moved offices. And I took a bunch of it. He had some more of that. So he hands me this envelope. It's got a bunch of stuff in it. And we were on our way to a friend's house. So we get to the friend's house before I open it up to go through it. And my wife, Nikki's right there with me. She's like, let's see what it is. I open up. The first two pictures are cheerleaders, Bengals. And I'm like, oh no, did he just get me a bunch of pictures of Bengals? And Nikki's looking at me like, oh really? This is your gift? Well, then I get through it. And there's really cool old pictures of Bengals. And I have one in particular. I don't know how it's going to show up here. I should have had Cam. I should have scanned this and sent it to Cam, but it's, I don't know what year it is. It's Bob Johnson walking off the field with presumably his wife and kids. And he just looks like this larger than life, massive figure. I like the action shots, but I really like these kind of photos. I just think it's framed well with Riverfront Stadium kind of ringing his head. And
yeah.
I wanted to thank Greg for doing that. A lot of really cool pictures in there, old time shots of Ken Anderson trying to run away from the steel curtain and shots like that. And I love that kind of history. And not sure what I'm going to do with all these things. I have so much of it, and I have yet to make any kind of display, but it's on my bucket list.
Love it. Love it. That is a great shot. I love the shot of Bob Johnson there. So mine is similar, a little bit similar. Now, I don't know if people are familiar with this. Scott Burson has wrote a book on Joe Burrow called Bulldog to Bengal. And he showed up at our event and told us about it, about the book, and gave us his cards. He sent a copy of the book. Hold on, I got to grab it live.
He was at our event at 50 West, and he was at our event in Buffalo. He came to both of those events.
Yes. Yeah. Came to both. Yeah, all the way. So I was like, he's on board with, like, I mean, granted, the man's trying to sell a book, but I appreciate he said nice things about us too, which I appreciated. but also has this book, Bulldog to Bengal. And it's from a different perspective that I really like, in that, I mean, he's entrenched in Athens. He's a person, someone who's in Athens, been there the whole time, seen Burrow's sort of rise. And that's the story. It's through, you know, Robin and Jimmy, his mom and dad. Sam Smathers does this book with him, his grade school coach. And you know, it's so much perspective into the back story to Joe Burrow, including a lot of stuff about what happens next. But just great stuff, great photos and insight to who the person is and how that happened. Highly recommend it if you get a chance. It's going to be available in next month. Mm-hmm. Now, I have an advanced copy here, but it's called From Bulldog to Bengal, and great job. Awesome read. Scott Burson with Sam Smathers. So if you get a chance, check that out. Highly recommend it. You know, once you get done with the Rise of Joey franchise and our compilation of stories that we wrote, the book that came out earlier in last season. So make sure you check all that stuff out. All right. Next on the horizon for us, Jay, is Indianapolis, the scouting combine. No bad decisions will be made late into the evening. As you know, it's funny, like the I feel like the lore of that and the urban legend of the things that happen late night in Indy at the scouting combine. People think, oh, you're going to the combine, what are you gonna do? You're gonna go watch guys run or bench or whatever. Honestly, we don't see any of that stuff. I don't really care much about any of that stuff. Like, it'll be noted, this is about an NFL convention. This is about, we'll talk to Duke Tobin. We will talk to Zach Taylor. We will talk to the coordinators. We'll talk to position coaches. We'll talk to scouts. We'll talk there. Everybody is there. Some will be on the record. Some will be off the record. Some will be just seeing people around throughout the league, coaches that were here that are gone. There's just, it's a big convention. Sometimes it spills over into the evening. And you just, you never know. And a lot of conversations are had there, conversations between agents and teams, and sort of the template for what the craziness of free agency will be tends to happen there. That will be the type of stuff that we're keeping an eye on. And I'm really interested, certainly, to keep an eye on, because the Bengals are, as we've talked about often, in a very interesting cross-section, particularly when you get to conversations with agents, namely Joe Burrow's agent.
Yes. You know, I keep refreshing my email, waiting for the schedule of coach and GM podium appearances, just praying that it's not 8 a.m. Yeah. For Zach Taylor.
They've moved him to the afternoon, which I think is being nice to us. It's supposed to be between 12 and 5, which
maybe that was by the coach's request, because they're not we're not the only ones staying out late.
Yeah, they come from a certain culture. but yeah, so there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff that's going to come out of next week. I'm interested to, you know, it'll be our first time, you know, Duke Tobin in front of a microphone, a number of microphones. Mm-hmm. For a while. I'm curious to hear a little bit of his perspective on where the team is at and the team build is at, and that, you know, Burrow contract stuff, T. Higgins contract stuff is going to be discussed. There's just we haven't really heard their official stance yet, you know, where things stand with conversations with Burrow. Hell, maybe we hear something between now and then before they show up in Indianapolis. You never know, but I just think there's going to be a lot of interesting things to be said. You know, from that angle.
Yeah, from all angles. Interested to hear from Lou, too, about how that whole thing played out in Arizona. And, you know, obviously I'm sure he's disappointed, but he's always a very forthright and honest guy. It'll be interesting to hear what his take on things are on, you know, whether, you know, you talk about players within a contract year with a chip and something to play for. Is he going to coach like that, where he came so close to getting that dream job, and he's back, not somewhere he doesn't want to be. He likes it here. He's doing great things here, but you know, that's on his radar to get a head coaching job. And is, I don't know how you coach better or harder, but you see players do it all the time in these contract years, step it up, and be really interesting just to get his perspective on where his mindset is after coming so close.
Yeah. And so all of that will be on the dock. Look for some of that next week. We'll have a couple of different episodes next week when we kind of bring you a lot of the reaction from Indianapolis, things heard, things observed, things seen that no one wants to be seen. Always lots of interesting things from up there. So we'll have a couple episodes next week when we break down everything going on at the Combine. Is really, it's for all that everyone has been talking and doing things like our mock offseason sheet and mock drafting, the start of 2023 is in Indianapolis. Okay. That's when everything really gets going and people really start talking about what comes next in forming the 2023 rosters and the 2023 season, and what will be, as it always is, an absurd march around this league. And the Bengals certainly have a lot of money to spend and will contribute to that. So looking forward to getting into all of that stuff for you next week. All right. I hope everybody has enjoyed this. I hope you got your sheets.
Yes.
Fill them out. Screenshot them. You can, of course, email me, pdaner@theathletic.com, or just screenshot, send them to us on Twitter. We'll go through a bunch of them. And we'll see what the trend is out there, what you guys are thinking, how everyone's differing. I'm really curious to see what your guys' view is. And also curious on your guys' view. Remember, if you have a chance, if you're watching this on YouTube, the link to the survey for our in-season episodes is in there. Again, it'll only take a minute or two. It's just a bunch of quick check of boxes on what you liked, didn't like, want more of, loved, things like that. We love to hear back from you. It's very helpful in us tailoring the show for you going forward. So if you have a chance, you have a few minutes, go in there and fill that out. We appreciate everybody that has done that already. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you next week from Indianapolis, the Scouting Combine. Have a good one.